ever been in a situation to where the ship that you were on sank? Anybody ever been in a shipwreck? It's kind of hard to... A canoe count? I've been in one of those. We were in Thailand on the... it's south of Bangkok. And we were in this boat, and it was about as long as this auditorium is wide, maybe a little longer than that. And it looked to me like it was built in the 1800s, as near as I could tell, except it did have a diesel motor in it, either diesel or gas, I can't say for sure. And we got in this boat, and we headed out to this island, and I don't know, Mrs. Schaefer's laughing already. About two-thirds of the way there, the motor started smoking amazingly. And all of a sudden, the crew was not so interested in driving the boat as they were trying to figure out where all the smoke was coming from. And I was sitting in that boat thinking, let me see, I can see an island right there. No, I can't swim that far. There's the mainland. No, I can't swim that far. And this boat, I mean, this is Thailand. I guess they had some life vests somewhere. I hadn't seen anything. I'm looking around for things that float. You know, I'm thinking, oh, this is not going to be good if this thing goes down. Not to mention, I'm going to lose my luggage. I had my luggage with me. And a suitcase, and I was going to lose that. But we made it to the island. Praise the Lord, the boat didn't sink. I never have been in a shipwreck. I can imagine what it would be like. Especially, can you imagine those sailors in World War II or even since, that ship is their home and they have everything they own in that ship, and then the ship sinks and you lose everything. That's kind of what's happening here in Acts chapter 27. And you have a shipwreck that takes place in Acts chapter 27. We're going to look at that in just a minute. But in the middle of the shipwreck, in chapter 27, in verse 22, Paul says, I exhort you to be of good cheer. Really? And then in verse 25, he says, sirs, be of good cheer. And then he says in verse 36, at the end of the story, he says, then were they all of good cheer. And they also took some meat. And so right in the middle of a shipwreck, people are of good cheer. Interestingly, if you look at that phrase, good cheer, it's in the Bible 8 times. 3 of them I just read to you. Let me tell you about the other 5. In Matthew chapter 9, you don't need to turn there. In verse 2, Jesus says, son, be of good cheer. He said that to the man sick of the palsy. You're sick of the palsy and you're going to be of good cheer? That doesn't make sense. He says in Matthew 14:25, when Jesus came walking on the water, and remember they were all afraid because they thought it was a ghost, a spirit, and they cried out. And he says, be of good cheer in verse 25. Mark 6 repeats that story in Mark 6:50, be of good cheer. John 16:33, Jesus says to you and I, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He says that to the disciples when he's about to be crucified. And then in Acts 23:11, he's talking to them about him being witness in Rome and Paul needs to be of good cheer. We read the last 3 in Acts 27. The phrase good cheer, if you look it up in Webster's dictionary, means to shout for joy, to dispel gloom, to encourage. I like that word, encourage. Can I just talk about that for a minute? We should be encouraging. How can you be encouraging? Here's a thought. When someone tells you something, don't tell them the bad parts of it. Tell them the good parts. You know, somebody says, I'm going to move. And somebody else says, oh, I remember moving. It was terrible. That's not encouraging. You know, or you know, somebody says, hey, I got a new car. What kind of car is it? It's a Ford. Oh, I had a Ford. It always broke down all the time. You know, we can just keep that kind of stuff to ourselves. Amen? There's enough bad news in the world. We don't need to be bearers of bad news. So anyway, try to encourage one another. Just a thought. It's a state of gladness. You could say, be glad, rejoice, be encouraged. I have good news. Well, let's go back to this shipwreck and let's see what happens. It's a bad situation. I want to read you a few verses here in Acts 27. And let's start in verse 10. Paul said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, Acts 27:10, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, he wasn't comfortable where he was, in other words, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the south, west, and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. This wind was so bad they had a name for it. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, it was so windy they couldn't sail into the wind, they let her drive. And they're going where they don't want to go now, and they're going fast. And they were running under a certain island, which is called Clauda. They had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship. So they pull ropes under the ship, try to hold it together. Fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, they strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceeding tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ships. So now they're throwing the cargo out. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. They're given up by then. They're just trying to survive. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Ever feel that way? Well, it's not over, is it? But after long abstinence, in other words, what he's saying there is Paul kept quiet because Paul told him back in verse 10 not to sail. Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss." Verse 22, Acts 27:22. "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." What? Be of good cheer? Amen? Let's have a word of prayer if we could. Father, thank you tonight that we do not look to the world so that we can be of good cheer. Thank you that we don't look at the situation. We don't look at the problems. We don't look at the bad history or the expectations or the bad news. But Lord, when we want to be of good cheer, we have to look to you. And you can and will give us what nothing else can, that you can encourage us. You can give us a reason to have good cheer. Paul knew that, and he knew as he sailed on that ship that he was going to see Rome, and not only that, but you had reaffirmed to him that he was going to be okay. And you told him also that those sailors would be okay if they'd stay with the ship. Father, help us tonight just to see a few things about being of good cheer, why we should be of good cheer, even when it seems like the situation is not good. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, back to the shipwreck. It's a bad situation. Paul told them, don't sail. And at first, things went well. And this happens in the world, doesn't it? When people ignore God's word, for a while it seems like things are going okay. You know, somebody says, "Hey, I'm not going to go to church anymore." And they drop out of church. And for a while, it seems like things are going okay. But you know what's interesting? When you disregard what God has to say, just like the man preached on Tuesday, there are consequences for our decisions, aren't there? But just like Brother Mendez testified a while ago, even when God lets us experience the consequences for our decisions, he is still gracious. And Paul was told, if you remember, God's grace is sufficient for you. So sometimes we might decide that we look at the situation, it's just bad news on top of bad news. And you know, I've read the story to you. They started out, things were going okay. They went from that to the point to where they even threw out the tackling. Now, the thought there is, once you throw the tackling out, you're not going to do any more sailing. We're just trying to survive now. They've given up pretty much everything. And it says there that at one point in time that they just had given up hope, that they did not have any thought that there was any chance of them being delivered. And folks, I want you to know something. When the Lord is in control, even in verse 20, it says, all hope should be saved was taken away. But you know what? They were saved. Amen? You got a situation and you just can't see any hope? God specializes in those. Daniel, we're going to throw you in a lion's den. There's no hope. What happened? Lions didn't touch him, did they? Hebrew children, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace because you won't worship the king's idol. There's no hope. In fact, the guys that threw you in were killed by the heat. What happened? They didn't even smell like smoke. Amen? I could go on and on and on and on and on. David, we're going to put you out here, and when you fight this giant, just want you to know something. There's no hope. He's a professional soldier with armor and weapons that you cannot match. But who won? Amen? So the devil is going to try very, very hard to make you and I not be of good cheer, to make you and I give up hope. But I just want to tell you something. In this lesson right here, Paul shows us four reasons why we can be of good cheer even when the ship is sinking. Even when it looks like our decision, in this case their decision, they shouldn't have sailed, Paul told them, but their decision is going to cost them some things, but there's still a reason to be of good cheer. And I can be real Sunday school-like here and ask you this way. If God says be of good cheer, shouldn't we be of good cheer? Shouldn't we? Amen? Okay, let's see what the Bible says about that. I won't take too long. But look at four things that you see here as to why we ought to be of good cheer even when all seems to be lost. Look at verse 23. Paul says, let me read verse 22 again. He says in verse 22, "Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall no loss of any man's life among you, there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." Verse 23, "For," in other words, "because," or the way I know this is, he says, "there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whose I serve." And I got to stop right there and ask that question. Do you belong to the Lord? Do you serve the Lord? These men didn't necessarily serve the Lord. In fact, they didn't even belong to the Lord, but they had somebody with them that did. And I can just say this to you. If you belong to the Lord, he's going to do what's best for you. You say, "Well, Pastor, what if I was to die?" Oh, that's not so bad to be absent from the body's present with the Lord. I told Mr. Mendez and a couple other people perhaps that I got a letter from a lady, I think Monday, and a man up in Salt Lake City that I knew passed away. He had a lung disease, and a nice man, and a wise man, and a man that had lived a healthy life up to a point, and then he got lung disease, and he went home to be with the Lord about a month or so ago, and we don't grieve for him. He's with Jesus. We do grieve for the folks that loved him and that are going to miss him. But to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. And then I got to say this to you, you're probably not going to die. You may not even suffer. We'll just see what the Lord decides. But you belong to him either way, amen? He says, "I belong to the Lord, and I serve him." And folks, when you belong to him and serve him, you can trust him. Amen? Amen? Oh, by the way, when you don't belong to him, you need to be saved, right? And if you don't serve him, you ought to start. He still loves you, by the way, and he'll still take care of you, but he can do a whole lot more when you're where you ought to be. In this case, it's not going to make a great deal of difference. Paul's the one at question here. In verse 24, verse 23, he says, "This angel stood by me this night, and spoke to me in verse 24, and he said, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee.'" What's one of the reasons that we can be of good cheer? Because of the presence of God, which brings the word of God. Amen? What did Jesus say? "I'll never leave you or forsake you." Amen? So wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you're in, the Lord is with you. And Paul says, "This angel stood by me, this presence, this angel of God stood by me, and he spoke to me." That's a good reason to spend time in your Bible, isn't it? Because when you read the Bible, God can speak to you. And when he speaks to you, he is a comforter. Well, I was doing some study on my message for Sunday, and I got to thinking about something. Jesus said to us, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then he called the Holy Spirit the Comforter, didn't he? And then the Bible says that during the tribulation, the Holy Spirit is going to be taken out. He that letteth will let. That word let means to protect or prevent until he be taken out of the way. One of the reasons that I have to believe that I'm not going to be here during the tribulation is because if God left us here during the tribulation, it'd be without the Holy Spirit. And he gave me the earnest of the Spirit. He's not going to take that away, is he? The Holy Spirit lives in you, doesn't he? And God's not going to take him away. The presence of God is a comfort to us. It can cause us to be of good cheer even when the ship's about to sink, all right? And the presence of God and the Word of God were the first two things that Paul pointed to. That's Hebrews 13:5, by the way, where Jesus promised not to leave us. look at verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. You know what will really give you good cheer is faith. You got a favorite verse? I got some verses I like. I got a lot of verses I like. Pastor in Utah, he used to start a new book in the Bible. He'd be preaching and he'd say, we're going to preach in Romans. This is my favorite book in the Bible, he'd say. And then 6 months later, we're going to be in Peter. That's my favorite book. And after a while, he said, you know, the whole Bible is my favorite book of the Bible. Oh, amen. But, you know, one of my favorite verses is the one where the Lord promises. He says, in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Amen. We did some reaping this weekend, didn't we? Amen. Some folks got saved. Aren't you glad we didn't give up on vacation Bible school? Amen? Amen. Now, it was tricky. It was hard. You know, good night. We had decorated. I was telling this guest speaker on Tuesday, I said, our auditorium has looked like an ocean for 6 months. We decorated, I hadn't quite that long, but 4 months at least. We decorated at the beginning of the summer. And, you know, we left it up because we were not going to give up. Amen. And we went through with it. And thank all of you that helped. We couldn't have done it without you. And countless little unseen hard tasks that people did. And fall Bible camp was a great success with souls saved and reaching new people, and still more work to do there. But praise God, he gave us some fruit because we did not faint. And he'll do it again. Amen? Don't quit. That's a reason to be cheerful. No, one of the reasons you're going to be of good cheer is because of faith. If you believe what the Bible says, you know what I have been lately? It's stuck in my head. Brother Mendez, one picked, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And that song got stuck in my head. That's a good song to have stuck in your head. It's true. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Just think about that for a minute. You say, oh, it's going to get terrible. No, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And we trust the Lord. Amen? If you got faith, it's going to let you be of good cheer. So, two things out of the way already. The presence of the Lord and faith in His Word. Now, this is going to be repetitive, but let's look at verse 26. How be it? Oh, I'm not sure I like that word. How be it? We must be cast upon a certain island. And then he goes ahead and explains that now down through about verse 34. In verse 31, he says, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. There's some interesting implications there. But he says in verse 34, wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. Now, if you have ever been in a shipwreck, and none of us have, but if you read about shipwrecks, most of the time, most of the people drown. They're beaten up against the rocks by the waves. They're overcome by the waves, and they can't breathe, and they suffocate. And it's pretty much a sure thing if you're in a storm and your ship sinks, unless you have some incredible equipment or unless someone rescues you, you're not going to survive. Circumstances aren't going to give us good cheer, are they? Amen? So what are circumstances, Pastor? The things you read in the news, the things that people tell you, the things that are happening around you, the storm that you're in, if you're in a storm. I wouldn't want to be in a storm without the Lord. Amen? You know, storms come into the lives of lost people too. The difference is we have a Savior. We have somebody to trust. Amen? And we can trust him, can't we? This is not just a Sunday school lesson. It's Bible. I've been teaching, I started this new class on Sunday mornings, and I was teaching last Sunday about the giant. And we have to be careful sometimes because we tell people, oh, I have faith and you can defeat the giant. It is that simple, but it's not really, is it? I mean, what do you have to do? You trust God and let him work? And folks, when you can't do any more, he can. And when you can't defeat the giant, he can. But the thing that you have to do is what David did, is go into the battle. Or what Peter did, get out of the boat. Or whatever it might take. But you can defeat that giant. So the circumstances aren't going to give us hope. But look at verse 35 and 36 and we'll be done. So he told him to take bread. And when he had thus spoken, he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. See, you need to pray for your food when you're in a restaurant. Amen? Amen? There's your verse right there. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer. And they also took some meat and were in, and we were in all in the ship, 216 souls. And to make that number a number we understand, that's 276. And so 276 of them, and do you know how many of them died? Not a one. That's amazing. Now, I won't read the end of the story. We're going to run out of time if I do, but the ship wrecked. And they actually wound up in the water. And none of them drowned. That's a miracle of God. God delivered them. Can he deliver us? You know, what we need to do is just stay on course, stay in the ship, keep on going. So what if the ship sinks? God will take care of us. It's not the ship that matters, it's the Lord's work that matters. There is hope, folks. There's always going to be hope if there's a God. If you have a God, you have hope. If you have faith, you have hope. Not in the situation, in the Lord. Not in what you see around you, but what you can't see that God's about to do. There's where your hope is. So last night, we had visitation, and Brother Leo came out with Penny, and we sent them out to visit some folks, and I met with some people here at church. Now, usually, when I go on visitation, I go out to somebody's house. Last night, they came here. And usually, we go out and we visit folks, and they come back and they visit church, and we go visit them, and they come back and visit church, and after a while, they decide to join the church. Last night, folks came to me and said, we want to get baptized and join the church. Amen? It was Stephen's sister and her husband, and they're saved. We talked about that at length, and they understood. And I didn't have to do anything. Amen? Can God do that again and again and again? Can we see souls saved if we just keep on preaching the gospel and keep on doing what we do? Amen? Amen? A lot of the folks here tonight, they weren't here a year ago. How many of you have been here less than a year? Raise your hand. Amen? Can God do that? Amen? God's bringing us together the way he wants. He's providing. We don't hope in the circumstance. We hope in the Lord. Amen. And you just keep on serving him. Be of good cheer. I was thinking about this today, and I'll kind of close with this thought. Here in verse 35, they've been so, what's the word? They've been so burdened, and they've been trying so hard to keep this ship afloat that they weren't even eating. Sometimes you just need to stop and sit down and have a bite to eat and realize everything's okay. We all like to eat, and some more than others, amen? My wife and I are going to have hamburgers for dinner tonight. I love hamburgers. And you want to come over? We're going to go to Jack in the Box. But anyway, sometimes you just got to sit down and eat and realize everything's okay. You got everything you need. You may be a little weary, but after church tonight, we can go get a bite to eat and go to sleep and get some rest. Everything's okay. Just be of good cheer. It glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. If you walk around with gloom all over your face, and if you walk around with gloom on your face, it's because there's gloom in your heart. That discourages other folks, and it dishonors God. And you may be inclined to do that because of the situation that you see. But eight times the Bible says, be of good cheer. Amen? Even when there's a shipwreck. I'd like to ask you to stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I want the pianist to come, and we're not going to sing a hymn, but we are going to just play a